CliffCentral.com. All right, good morning, everybody. Tuesday, and we are live in the studio in Johannesburg. It's nice and light early again, yes, which is great. We start the show in the morning, and look at there, there's light outside. You can see through this window on this side. What you can't see is through this window on this side, but it's even better. The view's even better on that side. So this is what we like.
Through that window, you see producer Ryan.
Yeah, there's Ryan running around. He's trying to keep us away from the special guest so that we don't ruin the surprise. But you already met the special guest.
I met the special guest in the parking lot.
Of course, you told me to ruin the fun.
No. This place is a labyrinth. I don't blame the special guest. Yeah. They lost. The security guy is like, I think those guys are going where you're going. So make sure you sort them out. I'm like, don't worry. I'm like, okay, come with me. But I know who you are. You see, now I have to act all fake surprise now. I'll be like,
Well, I feel every week. All right, let's get cracking. We got a busy day ahead of us today. There's lots happening. People in the comments already up and about and doing stuff, which is excellent. Bakabantu was saying to me earlier that, you know those waves that terrorized the Cape?
Yeah.
Apparently they reached all the way to KZN.
Mm-hmm.
That was you know, like this. That province needs any more nonsense. I mean, KZN has had the roughest time, and now I see they've got these enormous waves. It's not cool.
What? It was the flooding. It was the riots. Mm-hmm. What else? Yeah, it's the It's the political killings. It's the death of a prince.
Right, everything. It's just a disastrous. I mean, that we should really at this point just cut KZN loose and let it float into the ocean. It's just a disaster.
At this point, it's just. You know what province you never hear stories from? Mpumalanga. When was the last time you heard something?
You get stories.
No. Besides the political killings.
Yeah, so they used to be the capital of that, but they used to have a premier called Ndaweni Mahlangu, who was famous because he said when they caught him with his hands in the till or something, he lied about it. And then they said to him, but that's not what you told us. He said, but politicians lie.
That
was his defense. His defense was, but what do you expect? Of course we lie. We're politicians. So I started calling him Lies Mahlangu. Who knows where he is? He never went to jail or anything.
All I know is we were supposed to host. So they built all these world standard World Cup stadiums 2010 in all the provinces. Mm. But we never had a game in Nelspruit.
Well, no, I think we did.
Did we?
Yeah. We definitely did. It's a beautiful stadium, actually.
The one that looks like a zebra.
No, it's got I think it has zebra colored seats, but it's got like these pylons on the outside that hold the whole structure together that look like giraffes.
I swear we only built three good stadiums, right? We built the Durban one, we built the one they want to take down in Cape Town, the one, the glass one, Green Point.
The toilet seat.
Yeah.
The toilit seat, Moses Mabhida and FNB.
And FNB, yeah.
Calabash.
Because the Nelson Mandela one looks like just a bunch of umbrellas. I hate it.
Yeah, but that's PE. I mean, it's like you don't expect them to come up with any good ideas. PE. I like the one in Nelspruit. It's pretty. When you drive into town, you see it. And
what do you mean the PE one looks nice, Ricky Lowe? It looks like umbrellas.
Well, I mean, you know, that's ridiculous. All right, let's bring in our special guest for this morning. I'm going to talk about stadiums all morning. So let's bring him in. Yes, absolutely. Who might this be? Ah, it is the Goliath himself. How the hell are you, dude?
I'm amazing, bro.
I thought you were working this morning. You're not busy working today?
I work in the evening.
You've busy all day. I know that you're busy all the time.
Since doing breakfast radio, I'm on purpose not busy this time because this time creates bad mood for the rest of the day. People don't understand the sacrifice you make.
I'm glad you brought that up because I woke up this morning and I was like, very nice to see you, by the way.
Oh, man. Oh, so
it's
good
lovely to
see
have you here.
So good to be here.
I woke up this morning, I was like, I don't really feel like this show this morning. And that doesn't happen often. I was like, I walked in here, I was like, no, this shit again. which happens. And I mean, I'm very.
This shit that I curated, designed around my life.
I know, but you sometimes think, I've been doing it a while. Maybe people are getting sick of it. I always like to jump before I'm pushed, right? And this is something you've thought about
a
lot in your career.
I like to punch before I get punched, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I often think, let's consider the fact that, I mean, the show's growing, it's doing nicely and everything else. But maybe there are people right now who even listen to the show and they're like, how long is this asshole going to keep doing this stuff?
Nah, I don't think so. I have to defend the great
You really don't think so?
You know why? We're all too scared of being cancelled. Then we need your voice.
No, it's not.
I'm telling you.
I'm not scared of that anymore.
But that's what I'm saying.
But it's not interesting enough to keep me going.
No, we all are scared enough for you to be interesting forever. As long as you're not scared, you'll be our leader forever. Because we're scared. We're terrified.
I don't think that's true.
You have another.
I know comedians who are way braver than me.
Yeah, but they broke. Name one that's got money that's braver than you. Name one. I'll wait.
Don't you think, though, it would have been easier for all of us if I'd also just taken the money and just been a good kid who did exactly what he was told? And like, I think that sometimes. You don't think that?
My guy, then you would have, instead of coming in one day a year feeling a bit shit, you'd have felt like that every day. Then nobody would have listened.
You think that's the cost when you sacrifice your soul?
So I think you've been doing this long enough to know that the second you're not sincere, your longevity is dead. So I think maybe you would have survived 3 months and then people would have smelt, Gareth is selling out, and they would have stopped listening. The reason people are still listening and need your voice is because you didn't sell out. And that little bit of struggle suits you.
It's very nice of you, Jason. Thank you. You're a very nice man. And what a nice thing for you to say to wake up my brain this morning.
It's the truth. Everyone else. Am I lying?
No, it's not, nice.
Sir. I'm here with facts.
You're here with facts.
I'm not here to panda.
So what's been happening with you? Because I mean it when I say that you are always busy. You're one of the hardest working people I know in show business. And you have a lot on your plate. No? Man, I mean, you are.
Yeah, but I mean, it's one of those times where I think, you know, if you've got something to do, you've got to do it with all your heart. Because I think if you were an entrepreneur or survived in any way 2008, for me, it smells like 2008 out there.
Really?
Like that 2008.
Blood on the streets.
Complete. And for me, you know, when you get older, you realize that blood on the streets means somebody's dying, but also somebody's killing. You know what I mean? So there's opportunity. So as I got older, I realized
make sure you're the killer, not the kill.
On what side of the blood do you want to be?
You know what I mean?
On
good
what
point.
Side of the blood do you want to be? So I've kind of realized that the tougher times get, there'll be bigger opportunities for those that are willing to look and willing to dollar and willing to, you know, sometimes I just squeeze my left thumb to get rid of the anxiety to just carry on. But I just feel like we've got to be busier than ever to be relevant at the moment. It's crazy.
All right. So, I mean, someone here comments on how good you were on The Masked Singer.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I didn't see that. What did you sing?
I sang a couple of things, but my two favorites were I sang some Bill Withers, who's, you know, Bill Withers was, you know, you have that road trip
Bill
song.
Withers, that's class,
road
man.
Trip album
yeah,
with your dad.
That's some good old shit.
I did some Lovely Day, and I held the note like a boss. But also, I did a wonderful tribute
to don't ruin the song now,
to AKA. No.
Oh, you did a tribute to AKA.
Yeah, and it just felt. Oh, it
he
just
was
felt
the killed,
so
not
good.
The killer.
100%.
Poor motherfucker. I mean, you know.
What song did you sing?
We're no closer to finding out who killed him, right?
The champions.
No. And we won't. You think we're going to find out?
I think we know. I think we all just must settle for the fact that, you know, in South Africa, sometimes you don't get closure. You just know and carry on.
Yeah, like with Senzo Miyua as well.
Yeah, Senzo Miyua is still going on.
You just carry on.
We've got these police bosses like Becky Cele, and they walk around telling us what we must do. They can't help us solve even one famous murder. I mean, everybody knows who killed Sharon Tate in Hollywood. Fuck me. That was how many years ago? Everyone knows. Not a mystery. We can't solve one. The captain of our football team at the time. Imagine if David Beckham was shot and killed in the prime of his time in England's squad. There's no way that would just be like, we'll let this trial drag on for 700 years.
The dad died out of heartbreak.
I mean, what a sad state of affairs.
You know what? I don't know, man. Am I
defeated
to say
me,
that
Jason
I'm
Goliath,
even sad?
Because if they killed you or me, we'd also just be the murderer, the killer would be in court for years.
I would never kill you, Gareth.
No, but what gets me, now me, I take a shot. What gets me is why we still get our hopes up and allow ourselves to be disappointed. That's what gets me.
So I
know that we have to, you know, continue to be optimistic and hope that the systems are going to work. But I'm just like,
okay, I don't try to be. I'm genuinely optimistic about this country. Yeah. It's just the people who we put in charge, because the people of South Africa are fantastic.
They're the best.
It's just the filth that we have floating on the top. It's like you ever make a soup, and before you can drink it, before you can actually have the soup, there's that froth on the top.
Yeah.
It needs a while to like bubble and boil.
The poverty foam, I know it.
Poverty foam. And that poverty foam is made up of like the dodgy stuff that needs to be, the cuck needs to be boiled out of it.
That thing only tastes like with whole wheat bread, I'm telling you.
There we go. But you mustn't, even then, it'll give you the squirts. It gives you the squirts, right?
I mean, a cleanse. That's what I call it.
Colon cleanse. This came up on Friday. I just have to, because I know you know this. Yes. You're also an Eddie Murphy fan.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, so we were talking on, was it Friday or Thursday?
Thursday.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here and I'm like just remembering that scene from The Clumps, which is one of my favorite scenes, where the mom and the dad and the whole Clump family, he's brought his girlfriend to the
yes.
And the granny's sitting there and little hook Elise. And they, I mean, she starts off by going on about this. She goes, well, I heard open everybody else gonna get their colon cleansed. I think I'm gonna go down to the clinic, get my colon cleansed thoroughly. and Cletus goes, well, you wanna hear how I clean my colon? It's the best scene.
It'll forever be the best.
I fucking love that movie. So someone said to me over the weekend, they heard me talking about it on Thursday. I went to this wedding and someone said, oh, I love that thing with the Clumps. But there are a couple of movies that no matter what mood you're in, they will make you happy. And especially if you're like a little hungover and it's a Sunday and you just want to veg. You just want to just lie around and do nothing.
Step Brothers.
Scary movie.
For me,
any of them.
It's Step Brothers.
Step Brothers is fantastic.
It is literally, we've got so much more room for activities. That is, Wedding Crashes.
Wedding Crashes is also great.
So just Will Ferrell.
Oh my God.
Basically.
Yeah, Will Ferrell's
on any day.
And that, what was that movie that he was in with the Land Before Time or something? Also, like hilarious. I remember that one scene where that mosquito lands on that one oak. But it's a prehistoric mosquito. Yeah. And it starts sucking and there's just so much blood. And eventually the guy starts getting like very like faint and falls over backwards. There's this huge explosion of like blood behind him. Oh man. All right. So getting back to the cuck things. I did this thing on Friday when made a speech to this group of business travel people. Uh-huh. So that what they do is for the corporates, they book all their business travel.
Yeah, yeah.
So whichever corporates still have money in this country, and there are a few.
Yes, they are.
And they book these incentive trips. Yeah, thank God, right?
Because I'm going on one of those trips next month. Thank God.
See, and they keep the economy alive.
Amen.
Right?
And them, literally. Corporate South Africa keep our
hearts. Because not small businesses. We can't afford
to. They're like the pacemaker on the heart of South African economy. Yeah.
Okay, so these guys. And I stood up there and I spoke for about, I don't know, half an hour. I didn't have any notes or anything about how this time is the best time because there's such opportunity. And what you said just now, right? There's blood on the streets, but that means you can, if 100%. You build something now, it's gonna be built to last.
Absolutely. It's going to be built with that old school where they had to let the foundation dry for 3 months, get approval before we build the next level.
There we
not
go.
Like now where everything's just like Lego and your marks get set.
And you never know where it's going to fall down because the foundations haven't been put in properly. And what, tough times never last.
I love that.
That guy's also awesome. So Alan says for him, the movie that he likes when he's in that mood is White Chicks.
Love it.
Yeah. And then a lot of people agreeing about Scary Movie. Simon says, you is a damn liar, Mr. Goliath. You can't hold Lovely Dane's notes. Those Bill Withers notes be too damn long.
I love somebody that challenges me. I love it. Catch me outside. How about that?
Hold on.
Me and Peter Stuyvesant can finish that note, my friend.
This guy has to go and...
Peter Stuyvesant.
Are there repeats of The Masked Singer? There must be. There must be online.
It's on Netflix.
Oh, well, there we go.
It's on Netflix. So catch it on Netflix.
Shut your goddamn mouth, Simon. You go and watch it and then come back to us when you've been humbled.
Please.
Right.
Please record yourself watching me.
Yeah, tolerate you abusing Jason Goliath here on the show while he's my guest.
Calling me out. It's not even 6:30.
How dare you?
You didn't even brush your teeth and you're calling people out. You are the problem with South Africa.
So, I don't know if you saw this kaki. This guy over here, this Bakabantu, is convinced that...
I believe he's clever, this bruh. This Bakabantu.
Who told you that?
No, the producer was telling me this guy, he discovers molecules and relates them to books.
And Gareth last week was bashing me about how no one trusts me. Like, no, I am the source.
You are the source, but I saw you getting dropped off by a Bolt, not an Uber, number one. Then I'm like, your cleverness is going to waste, my friend, because you ran from you.
You know what? He is very disappointing because he's done sport once or twice and he was so shit at it. Now, how can you be a South African and be shit at sport? Even I can pretend
if Gareth is roasting to be, you about being shit at sport.
No, really.
You are shit at sport.
Because really, I mean, like, I don't know the first thing. Right?
It was so bad. So I got fired live on air.
Yeah. But the reason I bring him up is because he is convinced the end is nigh. You know, he's one of these people. I don't know if he's one of those religious minorities. What are they called? The ones who it's the Jehovah's Witnesses who believe everything's going to end soon.
I think there's a few of them.
One of them. Yeah, there probably are a few. Anyway, he's part of that because he comes in here every week with some, like you see, like this morning he says to me, and he's being serious. Mm. He goes, yeah, you know. All these whales that are washing up and being eaten on the beach. Now, I haven't seen.
I've not seen a single whale. I won't lie.
Not one. He's convinced this is happening.
What TikTok are you on?
So I don't know where you get your information. So, supposedly he's clever. He never gives a source. He's got this theory. He reckons that because the people, these poor people who go and they carve up the whale that washes up onto the shore and then they eat, that must be disgusting meat. That's like the foam as well.
Yeah. I don't know. It could be delicious. You never know.
I don't know. But he says, no, that's also why we're being punished.
No, I said there's an old wives tale about every time there's been a flood or anything scary that happened in a coastside city, something has washed up and people have eaten it. There's even a story. I told you this. There's like a coastal legend where
Jason's never been so convinced of bullshit in his life.
You bring old wives into this. And then I'm like, no, my friend. No. Even Xhosa old wives know better than me.
No. But every time something has washed up on the sea, something bad has happened. I'm just saying, causation does not equal correlation or correlation does not equal causation. All I'm saying is,
vocabulary does not equal intelligence. Let's start there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Just because you're using words I can't understand does not mean you are smarter than me. First of all, I've never seen anyone. I've only seen people try to push them back into the ocean. I've never seen anybody eat anything that's been washed up.
You've never.
I've never heard that as a thing.
If we're on YouTube, we could pull these clips up, but like YouTube will demonetize.
I think people that don't have airtime get like another feed on their IG, their
algorithm is serving them just really. Really mindless shit to keep them in the hole. Because people, let's face it, there are a lot of people in this country who don't have work and they don't have much to get up for. And that's a disgrace.
Yes.
Right? It is a horrible, horrible situation. I have nothing but sympathy for those people. But because they're there, I think there are corporate interests that thrive on keeping them distracted. Keeping them like
globally.
Happening all over the world. So it serves up stuff like astrology. I mean, I'm not saying you're the astrology kind of person, but the whale thing is just proof that even the clever people can be distracted.
Keep their minds empty.
Well, Gareth, when were you born?
Full.
I'll tell you all your
just
entire life
say
story
that again. The mind.
Keep their minds empty and their bellies full.
That's bread and circuses. That's what the Romans used to do.
On.
You know that you could always get free bread in ancient Rome, no matter how poor you were.
Yeah.
The emperor would always make sure there was free bread so your belly was full, even if it was just shitty stale bread.
Yep.
But you had something.
But it also takes the motivation to work for your own bread away. Because
correct.
Now
correct.
3 o'clock comes that afternoon, you still haven't prepared food for your family, you think to yourself, okay, tomorrow's
or
another
gone
day.
Out and found the food
Thank
or
you very
bought
much.
The food.
Thank
you. And the circuses were the distraction in ancient Rome.
Yeah.
So now a circus is a social media and the bread is takeaways. Oily, shitty takeaways that you can buy
oily,
at every
shitty,
street corner.
Delicious takeaways.
Yes, but I mean, who?
No, I'm with you.
I'm guilty of it a lot too. Yeah. You don't want to cook, so you order.
Yeah.
Especially, like I live on my own. I'm not cooking for anyone else.
Come on.
What's the point? So, bread and circuses.
Mm-hmm. Someone just mentioned we just brought up the Roman Empire again.
I know.
If you take stock on this, these comments,
we've got to. First of all, can I ask you if you think that this Russell Brand thing has got any water at all? Like 20 years after the fact, there are now these people coming forward saying Russell Brand was molesting or raping or whatever. There are only two possibilities.
Yeah.
The first possibility, and I don't like to talk about the serious side of this, but he is a comic and he's a guy who's very outspoken and I think he entertains lots of people. He's got millions of followers all over the world. A lot of what he says is very, very sensible, even though he's got a way of saying it sometimes that people aren't sure whether he's kidding or not.
For sure.
So Russell Brand, there's only two options. Number one, that he is not guilty of any of this stuff and that it's being made up.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's been talking about Big Pharma and he's been going against this narrative, just like, you know, so many people in the past. I mean, even Donald Trump, when he wasn't running for president, he was sleeping around with every woman in town and everyone knew it in New York and they didn't care. Now that he's running for president, it's a problem for the second time. You think about like Chief Justice of the, or rather not Chief Justice, two justices of the Supreme Court. So first of all, Clarence Thomas, the first black justice of the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
This woman came up, Anita Hill, I think was her name, after he was being considered for the Supreme Court. Suddenly she arrived out of nowhere. It was complete nonsense. The whole case was made up. But he was charged with these, well, it's always a sexual crime. Then Brett Kavanaugh, when he was standing, again, he's from the right, so he was a problem. Guess what they came up with? Some
serial rapist.
What was the guy called from Barstool Sports?
Mm. I see him.
Him too?
Yeah, he just came back.
Remember during COVID, he said some things about, hey, listen, you're shutting down small businesses. Suddenly, he was a problem. Some girl comes up with like, oh, he, you know, sexually abused her. This happened. This seems to be like a way that the certain people deal with politically inconvenient people. So either it's all made up and it's not true.
Yeah.
Or the media knew about it and they didn't say anything about it because he was on the right side politically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either way, the media is as much, if not more, to blame than him if any of this is happening. No, there are only two options.
There is a Venn diagram where this stuff meets, where if it is in your political interest, it's okay for me to sit next to Gareth and Goliath and be like, oh, Gareth and Goliath. Sorry, I don't know.
No, Karen, I saw that you looked for the back end there. So now,
Dave Portnoy is the guy from...
So it is very politically convenient for me to sit here, but with the minute you say something I don't like, it's very easy for me to bring up the Smolanyana skeletons that I have on you, whether they are true or not. And also, like, another thing about weaponizing these sexual crimes is that there is no proof.
And the topic is very sensitive. All of the cases I just brought up, never have any of those people been found guilty of any wrongdoing.
Exactly.
But the allegation itself does all the damage. The accusation is enough.
So I think all of these things hurt actual victims.
Yeah.
Number one. Okay. Then I'm just like, in a lot of these cases where there's smoke, there's fire, whether there's a prosecution or not. And if you did something that you got away with years ago and now because you're a person of importance or you're standing on the wrong toes, somebody's got to go and dig in your files and they find dirt, you still did the dirt.
Yeah.
So I'm saying we've got to separate. So we agree, yes, there are those that are made up and using it as a weapon. But I'm saying that at some point you've still got to be clear on where you stand on the issue. And then on the issue, I go,
fair enough.
You have to believe victims.
Yeah.
Well, why? No. Everybody, I don't believe you must believe the victim. You must believe whoever can bring the evidence. I don't give a shit if you're the victim or the aggressor.
But sometimes there is no evidence.
No, then there's no case.
Legally, there's no case, but it actually
And there's
happened.
Also a statute of limitations.
Yeah,
you cannot, well,
in South
I'm
Africa,
sorry,
in
you
South
cannot
Africa
come
rape,
in.
There is no statute of
well,
limitations.
You cannot come in 20 years later and say to me, oh, you know, this thing, I've changed
South
my
Africa,
mind.
In South Africa, there is no statute of limitations.
No, but it's also easy to say, you know, what I've learned is that sentence on its own is so easy to say as a man. Because you weren't trying to report in a country where reporting is nearly impossible. Trying to get medical assistance after the fact where it's nearly impossible. So for me,
you said this at the beginning, and I don't disagree with you. The problem with trivializing rape, which is what happens when people make it up because they had a bad experience,
absolutely,
things didn't go their way, or the guy was stringing you along, or whatever, or because there's a political end game to it. However you trivialize it, it has the effect
100%
of making serious things trivial and making trivial things serious.
Yeah.
And that's what we've done. So either we have to take the – and this is – you've got to take the position that every allegation is serious and that evidence must be brought. You don't believe all victims. You don't believe all aggressors. Evidence must be brought. If someone is found guilty of something, you treat them with the harshest possible way that the criminal justice can treat them. But there's no like double standard. And if you're a woman and you allege that something happened and it turns out the evidence proves that nothing happened, you also go to prison for the allegation.
But I think that this thing is broken further by the fact that the system doesn't work.
Yes.
So I'm saying it creates too much gray area around what you're talking about in terms of presenting the evidence. If we believed 100% that when put in an environment where two parties were accusing each other of a thing, were able to present evidence fairly, and we would receive a conclusion. But I feel like that whole system.
You think the criminal justice system is broken?
It is. Completely.
Okay. It is.
And I don't think you're wrong.
Down to the reporting.
But what's the alternative? To kangaroo court people?
No, but it's been since the beginning of time, this problem. Right.
The case, I mean, if basically you or Bakabantu or I or anyone else suddenly says something which is not politically acceptable to the establishment, then if you've had sex with anyone at all, you're going to be picked on at some point. They're going to use that against you. So in other words, the only way to be able to stay clear is to be a virgin your whole fucking life, which is ridiculous.
The only way to stay clear is to make the system work.
Yes.
Well, so start there, and then you work, work on the other stuff. First, make the system work. If you've got a system that works, and when I say a system that works, I'm not just talking about the reporting. I'm talking about the entire system.
Listen to Pablo here. So this is the kind of thing that drives me up the wall. Pablo says Russell is guilty. I'm afraid, like, because Pablo clearly knows exactly what happened in all of those sexual encounters because he was sitting.
His name is Pablo. Pablo's come with facts.
He's sitting there with like a camcorder in the 2000s. In every Congress that Russell Brand had. And he says he was a drug addict, promiscuous and lost, by his own admission, all of those things. He could not just sweep it under the carpet with his books. The timing is suspicious. Okay, so listen, you know why they put a statute of limitations on things normally?
Yeah.
Because the evidence becomes impossible to find.
Yeah.
Mm. We cannot convict anyone in any place at any time without evidence.
Yeah.
If we start doing that, we may as well not have a criminal justice system at all. Sure, it's broken. Sure, it doesn't work. But there has to be a criminal justice system because the 100%. Alternative is too terrible to imagine. Yeah. So otherwise, whoever's powerful will just abuse whoever is not. And then victims are in a much worse position.
True story.
Right?
Yeah, true story.
So I hear this. It really annoys me that suddenly Russell Brand is Mr. Bad Guy. And I'm not saying he's innocent. Either he did this stuff, and the media ignored it because it was convenient for them to not make a fuss. They keep saying it was an open secret. You know, like Bill Clinton with all the interns was an open secret. Well, then why, if it was an open secret and you're in the media and you pretend to care so much about women, did you shut up for so long?
Thank you.
Those people are as guilty by association.
Yeah.
Is my point.
Truth.
Yeah. Truth.
So when these things happen, and remember, it's always sketchy. When a man and a woman get together after a few drinks, it's always a little bit sketchy. It all depends on how both of you feel afterwards, whether or not it was a good – and trust me, as someone who's experienced good and the bad, sometimes you wake up the next morning, you're like, I should not have done that. That was beneath my standard or whatever.
So then for me, it's the guilt the next day is bundled up with the gender-based violence, and I don't think that should be. I think it's the consent the night before. I think it's the consent the night before
like a written – because I know someone who actually brings out the contract.
Yeah.
He brings out a written contract with every girl he takes home, everyone.
Well
– and he makes her sign it. He's got a stack of them at home.
Listen, I'm not sure if he's part of the problem or the solution, that guy.
This is what the law has put. And again, I'm by no means claiming, shame poor men, because we know how men behave in this country.
No, men are shit. Men are the problem. All of us.
Well.
All of us.
Hang on.
I'm
not. I'm not. I'm sorry. I don't rape anybody. I'm not part of the problem. I don't want you. Don't you tar me with that brush.
I'm not part of the problem. I feel that if I scratch the surface, I'll find a male privilege that you enjoy that points to the
male. That doesn't mean I'm going around raping people. I mean, be very careful what you say.
When I say we're all part of the problem, I will be very clear with what I say. I'm saying that I believe at some point you've been, whether it's at high school, in a pub, a club after school, but you've been in a situation where maybe it even wasn't your boys, but you heard a group of boys talking shit, you heard somebody complaining, and you just didn't stand in the right direction. You didn't raise your voice. You didn't raise your voice when you should have. You didn't call somebody out. So for me, the problem is a huge one. And the reason I say all men is I got to go, even in my little way, even if it was just once.
You're just parroting that shit they're putting out in the media. You really are. You're just talking.
I think that's an easy way out. You took
me. I love you, but you're talking nonsense. Because it's not. I'm not guilty by association, because some men. It's like I'm not guilty of what all white people do. I'm not guilty of what people in my age bracket do.
You're in the bag.
I'm responsible for me. That's all I can ever be. And the criminal justice doesn't find us guilty by group.
Agreed.
It doesn't. And agreed. Thank God it doesn't.
But I don't think change happens unless as a group we stand together.
I just find the whole thing with this Russell Brand story, it's the repetition of a same old tired thing. We've seen it happen with other people.
But like you said.
Had enough of this.
But like you said, if we trivialize serious stuff and we take serious, like trivial stuff serious, we end up with a problem. So we're in these murky waters
100%.
Where we can't figure out what happened. So let the Russell Brand thing, let the law take its course. It's not perfect. We should be fixing that. But
again,
let's hope
it does instead of people saying things like, always believe the victim. This is that Me Too shit that all it's done has made everybody more unhappy, women and men.
But there's also a balance where you need to understand that there is a court of public opinion and that can never be taken back. So Russell Brand's brand is dead for all intents and purposes. Even if he came out with...
It's a very bad choice of surname.
But it is what it is.
Yeah, for all intents and purposes, even if he came out with receipts, his brand is dead.
Well, I mean, like Bill Cosby. Yeah. Someone mentions Bill Cosby in the comments, right? So again, we all thought he was terrific.
Yeah,
Bill Cosby. As a kid.
I had LPs of his comedy. You know what I mean? Comedy records, and then that for me brought up the topic of what do you do with the art of bad men?
Well, it's like Michael Jackson too. Must I now stop listening to
Jackson R. Kelly?
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, but those boys lied.
Those
boys lied. It was proven though. Those boys lied.
No, why did he settle with them? These huge settlements. And don't tell me that's normal for some grown-up man to be riding on toy trains with a whole bunch of kids at
all
Neverland.
All I'm saying is Michael Jackson was medically castrated. Those boys say nothing happened. It was just weird. Mm. And one of them even claimed a story that didn't exist, like the building didn't exist. Mm. Like I watched that opera documentary.
Mary says, can we please pass this Russell Brand? It's getting really boring. And because Mary is a program director of the show, we have to move on.
Let's move on, Mary. It's Mary on a lock.
All right.
There's nothing Mary about what we were talking about.
No. But listen, again, these are the conversations I would rather have than we just pretend.
This stuff doesn't exist.
Let's talk about the things he wants to talk about, whales being eaten on the beach and astrology.
No, there's someone in the comments here who brought it up. Who's seen it. I don't know. Go back up, Gareth. There's someone who has seen this happen.
No, what's done is done. It's in the past. Statute of limitations.
Change your life.
Statute of limitations.
Guys, this is a serious problem.
My favorite use of statute of limitations was Larry David. Mm. When people say Happy New Year in February, he says, no, the statute of limitations on saying Happy New Year was just the Jewish New Year. He says, no, you've got 2 weeks.
Yeah.
After 2 weeks, you can't say Happy New Year anymore. It's wrong.
I'm fascinated that people allow stuff like that to annoy them. I'm like, let somebody say Happy New Year even in May.
Larry David gets annoyed by everything.
Larry David.
He's hilarious.
Larry David looks at the situation and chooses the hardest way to deal with it.
Yeah. Always.
Every day. I'm just like, if you're going to choose the cloud instead of the silver lining every day, you finish. Because
do you like our clouds?
Love it. Love the new studios. Love the cloud.
Because you have been here before.
This is my first time at this studio.
Really?
The last time we were online. And I can't believe how big this complex is. Like, I just kept driving and driving, and I just kept getting deeper. And I was like, what part of Santorini is this? This is like, no, this is that. What is that? Eyes wide shut, cuck. You know,
it's like a little oasis in the middle of
I didn't know it existed.
The concrete
nobody
jungle.
Does.
The driveway is also like, oh, there's a driveway here. Yeah. When I pulled in on it, I was like, well done. Nicely done.
You know how they used to make that ad that said what the most expensive square mile in? It's not Santa City. It's
no. Here. No, well, this is half that mile. Half that mile is in this yard of this place. Yes.
Have you seen our pool?
I saw pools, palm trees, dude. Villa vibe.
It's proper.
There was a section here where I felt like I was walking into somebody's house.
Well,
you know, like that scene from Bad Boys.
We're gonna have a few parties here in summer, and you must come.
In is in. G-string.
No, for sure.
Let's go.
It's gonna be awesome. All right. So, listen. Somebody says here, is this the Goliath you get when you order from Wish? Yes, that's rude.
Who said
Dussie
that?
Knows. Dussie knows.
Is this the Goliath you get when you order
but
from
this
Wish?
This is the man. By
this,
the way,
this
you
is
did.
The Goliath.
No, yeah. I'm the Beyonce of the group, Dussie.
Yeah, exactly.
Goliath,
no, Goliath. Kelly Rowland
this guy
fans,
doesn't know what he's talking about.
Kelly Rowland but fans, the diehards.
Jason, you did that. What was that celebrity game night or whatever it was?
Yes, sir.
For a long time, too. Yeah. I saw one of those a while ago. Was that a fun thing to do or was it irritating to do that show?
Bro, that thing was amazing.
Really? You that enjoyed thing, it? Because you looked like you were having fun.
I'm a person that loves game nights. And if you love game nights, that is it. So the job is now you're team captain of this
yeah,
team.
Yeah, but your team's always sucked.
But it doesn't matter. The alcohol is there. And imagine your game night.
Oh,
right?
You let people
win
drink?
Win or lose. Yes.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
you got a live drinking set. Now it's 11 o'clock in the morning. Jason is ordering a rum and coke. He's with celebrities who, after the first game, forget who they are on stage, on screen. And now it just becomes about the points. And I just allowed, and I think all of us, Neil and Ayanda, we just allowed ourselves to kind of dive into it and make the game night feel as competitive as possible. It was fantastic.
I have a feeling that Anella is very pissed off with me because she's invited me on all of her shows, and I've said I didn't want to go on Masked Singer, I didn't want to go on Celebrity Game Night, and I'm not fun with those things. I'm not going to have a good. I'm going to hate it.
Yeah,
I hate the dressing up. I'm not one of those fun people. I'm not a team player, as they call it, right?
So
I think she's pissed off with me.
I don't think she. If she keeps inviting you, she's not pissed off. When she stops inviting you, and then you
I
know.
Think this was the last invite.
Nah,
but it's not like I'm hurt. I don't want anyone.
I will tell you what.
Being cross with
there
me.
Are very few people that speak as highly of you outside of your presence than Anele.
That's nice of her.
I'm terms of that game recognizes game, old that's school nice radio dogs, you know what I mean? She always tips her hat.
That's good of her. Listen, I have nothing but nice things to say about her. I just don't want to be on the show.
No, it's fine. I didn't miss you, bro. I'm not even going to lie. Imagine, now I must wrangle a whole Gareth Cliff.
No, I mean, it would be hard. I would be no fun. See, they've done this with me before, and we've got to get to African analysis. But when they take me to, they did this when I was still on radio, at both the radio stations I was at, to team building.
Mm.
And that's a very, you don't want me at a team building. What I do is I actively destroy the team.
Yes.
Because I'm one of those people who's not good at doing that. Whatever the activity
cohesion.
Is, it's the drumming, or it's the walking across the fire, or it's the mosaic making, or the brainstorming, or whatever the hell it is. You put me in a room like that, I actively look for ways to dismantle the team. I don't know where it comes from. I'm not into that at all. And it's better to just leave me out.
Have you always enjoyed bullying people with your intelligence?
No, it's not that, because it's not intelligent that I'm doing this. It's stupid. I behave like an idiot. I get mean.
But you see the games the way they don't see them. And then instead of looking for the ways to glue things together, you look for the little gaps to pull things apart.
I think there's this funny thing that I have, which wouldn't have happened at any other point in history. I'm lucky I'm alive now, is where I seek not to belong. The moment I feel like I'm part of a team, I just want to get out. Right.
I found a way around that.
How?
I got a lot of team buildings as the host.
Teach me.
As the host. Be the host. That's how I
then you can just facilitate. You don't have to.
So I'm the same guy. I love being in a room with 10,000 people, but I hate sitting among them.
Yeah.
So it's like I like being on the stage and you out there.
That's a good point.
Beautiful. But when I'm during I couldn't even do, we used to call it the Batman, the electric slide.
Yes.
I refuse. When that thing starts, I'm off. I'm at a wedding. Yeah. I'm not the guy, but no, because I'm like, no, we all.
The minute
do
I see
dance.
A synchronized
no,
no. dance or
too
a,
much of an individual
or a bunch
that.
Of people all like no, saluting at the same time, or I think it comes from probably in some previous life I was killed by a mob or something.
Yeah,
and the mob. Whenever I see people with groupthink,
yeah,
I like immediately kick out.
There's still time in this lifetime for a mob to get you. I'm just saying. No,
no, no. That's why we're here. Why do you think we're in this very expensive part of Sandton, you know? all right, so we got a lot of comments here, all kinds of interesting stuff, but it's time for us to get to someone who is well worth listening to. We get to see him at least every 2 weeks, and he has valuable information for us on what's going on in the African continent. He's none other than JJ Cornish, and here he is. Hello, JJ. How are you, sir?
Bonjour to you. I'm immensely well, thank you.
It is very good to see you. We have much to catch up on, and I know Jason Goliath is as interested as Buckabuntu and I about all the things that you're going to tell us. So let's take a look at what's going on in Zimbabwe. I believe Emmerson Mnangagwa had a huge party for his 81st birthday, and his wife's name is Auxilia. Did you know that?
I did not. I'm sure he plugged in the auxiliary.
His wife's name is Auxilia. Is that right, JJ?
Well, she's a doctor now. He gave.
I think that is right. Yeah. Yeah. The Zimbabwe names are something else. You know, we think sort of rain and hope and stuff like that, but they have much more complicated names. Obviously, they consult the Encyclopedia Britannica and choose the longest one in many cases.
So they had a party for Emmerson in State House in Harare, and he was surrounded by family, government officials, dignitaries. He received gifts of paintings, an antique St. Petersburg imperial porcelain plate, and from his sons an all-expenses-paid fishing trip where they will join him. Now, that's a nice family present, isn't it?
That isn't it just, I don't. I know that tiger fishing in Zimbabwe, well, certainly when the brief time I spent there, was hugely important. But the size of the beer crate you took on board the boat outweighed the fishing tackle, you know, by a factor of 100.
Yeah.
So basically you got snot flying drunk and tried to avoid the tiger fish biting you when you pulled it on board because they're terrifying fish. You know, they've got huge teeth and you really need like a sledgehammer or, I don't know, thermonuclear device
to put them under,
stun them. To get them aside, yeah, and then I don't think they're edible either. So it was, the legless chasing the inedible. I wouldn't go tiger fishing.
So JJ, I mean, you could draw the analogy that a tiger fish is almost like a ZANU-PF veteran, an old man like Emmerson Mnangagwa. Big teeth, takes a lot to take them down. We had the election, and I know you made some comments about the election the last time we spoke, but perhaps now with a couple of weeks of retrospect, we can actually look at this and put together the real story. Another era of brutal repression, maybe? What do you think?
Sad to say, that is what we're moving into. You know, Mnangagwa is saying we have peace, love, harmony, and tolerance. None of those are true. We've had forced abductions, people brought, taken into bakkies, hidden away, driven somewhere, tasered and then beaten. We've had one figure, Maureen Nkadmangunga. She was charged with attempted murder, appeared in court, and the judge said, hang on, there's absolutely no evidence. I suppose Russell Brand would hope for a judge like that, you know, in his day. But, you know, they're just absolutely appalling. The observers have now left. Well, I think there might be some a very few number of the absolute long-term observers. Normally, you know, you have the observers there for about 3 weeks at the most. And once they've gone, now Emmerson believes he can behave any way he wants. Here back in South Africa, I mean, I know every Zimbabwean I speak to just breathes a sigh of relief at being in the freedom-loving People's Republic south of the Limpopo River. Yeah. But, you know, many of them, Zimbabwe extension permits are now going to expire, and they fear that they might be deported because those extension permits were renewed again and again and again. Were extended three times last year, I think. Jeez. And but the Home Affairs are saying, well, don't think for a moment that they're going to be deported. Don't believe those rumors. So we have very frightened people south of the Zimbabwe and absolutely terrified people north of the Zimbabwe, and that is the way things have been now for a long time, sad to say.
JJ, it's always good to check in on our northern neighbor, and I'm afraid there haven't been that many stories that we can, you know, proudly hold up as examples of democracy. But Zimbabwe just seems to carry on regardless. You know, it's an amazing thing. There are such resilient people there who come thick or thin, they just carry on. Doesn't matter what the government do, what they say. They've survived Mugabe. They're now surviving Mnangagwa. It's a pretty wild place.
It is a wild place, and they are quite remarkable people. You know, I spent 1 year there. It was under Ian Smith, and you know, I was absolutely amazed at the people I met there. But since going back, you know, I went back at that time after Lancaster House. I covered that very important conference and those negotiations. And then there was this boom, and the buildings went up, and, you know, everything looked fantastically rosy. And then suddenly Mugabe was challenged, and then he brought in the removal of the white farmers and destroyed what was the breadbasket of Southern Africa, Southern and Central Africa, and turned it into the basket case of the continent. Now, that was very sad to see, and I've been through in those stages to see, but the people, you know, they just go out onto the streets and sell what they can to stay alive. And they do. They are the great survivors. It's a pity that people of such enterprise. I mean, their education system until quite recently was way superior to ours. So that, it, you know, you knew that if you ever went to a restaurant and you chatted with the waiter who understood your puns and your bad jokes and came back with even better ones and who could talk politics with some kind of knowledge, you knew that you had a Zimbabwe waiter, you know.
And he was probably an engineer back home, you know.
Yeah, or brain surgeon.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Many of them, yeah. Serving double espressos.
Yeah, I mean, it's really very depressing for so many people from Zim who have these incredible educations. They have a contribution to make. And here in South Africa, they'll take whatever employment they can get. JJ, what we do every week is we also try to get the long perspective on things. And in Congo Brazzaville, which is not the DRC, it's on the other side of the river, there's been one guy in charge. He's the third longest serving president on the continent, Nguesso, right?
Denis Sassou Nguesso, yes.
Yeah, so what's been happening there? Because I heard that there were rumors of a coup attempt, just like we have had in almost every episode of Africa Analysis for the last 5 years. In some part of Africa, there's some coup attempt. Is this one for real?
Well, we've had, what, 8 in the past 3 years. So the thing about it is, and this is the time for coups. You go off to the United Nations General Assembly for a period of time and come back and find yourself in a jail cell. But the thing about Denis Sassou Nguesso, he took power in a coup back in 1979.
Yeah, it's like but those, then he lost. It's like those relationships that start with cheating usually end with cheating, right?
Exactly that. Exactly that. But now, you know, I mean, and it's a remarkable country across over the river from the giant of Central Africa, whatever you feel about the DRC.
Yeah,
he lost power in a 92 election and then returned in 97. So essentially, with that 5 year gap from 1979 until today, he's been there 39 years. And you know, I think it was the famous Barack Obama who said, "If you can't get what you want to do as president in 2 terms, you should get out of the way because you're not going to get it done, you know, if you spend your time as life president." And the bongo, père et fils, the son and father, are there to prove that to you. And they're the latest coup victims.
Yeah. You've been to Brazzaville.
Yes, I have, yeah.
What's Brazzaville? What's it like there? I mean, I don't know very much about it. We know quite a lot about the DRC. A lot of South Africans who go work in the DRC. Is Brazzaville a hospitable place?
Well, I mean, it certainly is as hospitable. I mean, you know, the Congolese were colonized by the Belgians in the south, by the King Leopold, who was probably the cruelest colonizer in history.
Absolutely.
And then Brazzaville was the small brother over the river. And they keep trying to kind of negate the fact that that's it. The one interesting point Denis Sassou Nguesso did was bring in a bunch of South Africa, but white South African farmers, when things were getting tough for them here, and gave them farms to farm in Brazzaville. So their output is still quite interesting, and there's still quite a considerable South African community in Congo Brazzaville of farmers. Well, you're doing a good job for them there, and they've been there for 20 years or more.
So you might hear some Afrikaans spoken in Brazzaville, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I'm then that's it, our friend. A star coup near I snog you.
That's how we get our information. JJ really is very connected. Yeah. Okay, so Sudan, I mean, we've had such an ugly story there over the last 25 or more years in Sudan, and it's always been a very, very fractious place, you know, since the days of Gordon of Khartoum. But Sudan really has had an awful time, especially, you know, the situation with the refugees. Obviously, South Sudan split off as well. So what do we have going on there now? Because we've all those displaced people who are still living in like tent cities over vast parts of the Sudanese landscape. What's going on in Sudan?
Well, the fighting there between the army and the paramilitaries has led to 7,500 deaths. But worse than that, it has displaced more than 5 million people, 5.2 apparently. And that makes it the most displaced people, internally displaced people on the planet. Now, the fighting hasn't stopped because both sides in that struggle believe they can win. So they say they're going to talk peace, but they have no intention of doing it. They talk about talking peace. They regroup while everybody is wondering about what the negotiations are going to be. But the latest thing is the paramilitaries are attacking the army in the capital, Khartoum. You mentioned Gordon of Khartoum. Now, the place where he was slaughtered was one of the great landmarks in Khartoum. And you know, I remember walking along the Blue Nile. I might have told this story already, going into this beautiful hotel for I couldn't get a drink because it's getting dope there is quite difficult, problematic, you know. It's not like Pakistan where you have to sign a piece of paper saying you're an alcoholic, but you know, that would help. So I went in, I thought I'll sit on this lovely veranda and have a cup of tea and look at the Blue Nile. And this Chinese guy came and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I've come to sit and have a cup of tea." He said, "I don't know how you got into the Chinese petroleum manufacturing company headquarters, but you need to leave immediately."
Wow.
Now they have one of the landmarks in Khartoum was this 18-story glass tower with a kind of a steel cage around it, conical glass tower, absolutely beautiful building. I interviewed Thabo Mbeki in that building, and really is, it was a landmark building. And that is now in ashes today because it was burned yesterday along with other landmarks, the tax office, the justice ministry. So the paramilitaries are attacking these landmarks. And what they're going to leave behind for Khartoum, it just doesn't bear thinking. Very, very sad what is happening there.
JJ,
and, you know, the only reason I stopped talking about Khartoum every week was because of the coups in the other countries. Yeah.
You said 5.2 million people have been displaced. That's the entire population of Johannesburg, according to 2019 census. It means if everybody in Joburg found themselves in tents, stretched out in the Karoo or the Kalahari, that's what it would look like.
Yeah, and those of us from Pretoria would say, that's a good start.
Well, at least we have a sense of humor on this show, but my God, there's a lot to worry about. So every 2 weeks we get to check in with JJ Cornish. Of course, it's brought to you by the Johannesburg Business School, looking at what happens around the continent. And we do have to bring you some of the sad news sometimes. This dam in Libya, what do we know about that, JJ, just to finish off?
Well, very, very sad. I mean, the death toll is, the mayor of the city said it could be 20,000. I think it's gone over 11,000 now. Well, interesting historical fact, that city was opposed to Muammar Gaddafi. So the brother leader thought, I'll make them pay. And he cut back on all the infrastructural development there and so on. And so they have been almost a forgotten part. Derna, forgotten part of Libya. But they, like the earthquake area in Morocco, are in a high mountain area. And so the big heavy lifting equipment to move away the mud and stuff cannot get to them. But what effectively happened was the river came down. It broke through the one dam that hasn't been looked after for two decades, broke through it, and the force of that river is said to be more than the bomb at Hiroshima, more than the atomic bomb at Hiroshima, then blew through the second dam and then took out, you know, virtually took out the quarter of the city of Derna. It's a city of just over a million people, and a really, really difficult time. But we don't know the death toll. They're pulling bodies out all the time, and the aid has been very slow in getting there. It's just as the aid has been very slow in getting to the earthquake victims in Morocco, because the Moroccan government has refused to take aid from France. It's getting a bit huffy about the bilateral relations. Said, no, we don't need your help. And it's refused to take help from the United Nations. So it has Britain, France, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, rescue squads from them working there, but many other countries saying, hey, we're ready, willing, waiting to come. Mm. And the Moroccans say, no, don't want you.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is a horrible state of affairs. But thank you for filling us in. It's always good to check in with you. We always appreciate it, because you've got these sources that you can call up and they say, Nia, he's not there. When you want to find out about a coup. All right, JJ, thank you so much. Jean-Jacques Cornish, everybody, and Africanalysis, brought to you by the Johannesburg Business School every second week right here on cliffcentral.com. It's good to know this stuff. This is our neighborhood. We need to know what's happening. Speaking of our neighborhood, there was a fire at the Joburg Metro Center. You know, there was the explosion. Then there was that other fire just the other week where all these people were killed. And now there was a fire at the Joburg Metro Center, which caused immediate closure. So the mayor, the Nyope mayor, the city manager, and the speaker have moved out. A weekend fire caused by faulty transformers at the Joburg Metro has shut down the building responsible for administering the cities. Joburg is turning into one of these places that JJ tells us about.
Joburg is out of motor plan.
It really is, hey?
People are not That's servicing Joburg anymore. Joburg went from Vrpa to Cressida. From 2019,
very
we were
quickly,
Vrpa.
Very
we were
quickly.
Vrpa. Now, 2023.
Do you remember when they used to talk about a world-class African city?
Land of gold. City of gold. Those were the days. Land of opportunity.
I remember Chris Forrest making a joke and saying, oh, Cape Town, you're always telling people to come to Cape Town. You got the mountain, you got the sea. Do not be having Joburg. Jobs and money. Yeah, those are 2019 jokes, my friend.
2019 jokes.
Punchline. It's worked in 2019.
What kills me, it happened in their own backyard.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's so much karma, because the faulty transformers are guess to what? Load shedding.
Yeah.
Nothing is being maintained. That's the problem.
Fun fact, I work across from this building, so it's like literally shut down, like quarantined, and like, yeah. Like,
really? They got tape across the entrances and everything?
No, because we used to cross through there when we go through to the Food Lovers for lunch. But yeah, it's just shut down. Like, the mayor's gone. No one's dealing with this. I'm like, yeah,
no. No, but there's gonna be like the explosion in the street. If you wait for it to explode, the size of the tender to repair is far bigger than the size of the tender to maintain.
You reckon that's
so? I'm telling you, pa. I'm telling you. And then that thing's gonna take three tenders to actually get done. You know what I mean? And then somebody's gonna go to jail for 20 minutes, and the president is gonna send an SMS to say, I'm in.
Yeah. But this is how cynical all of this is making us. Listen, at the same time, there could be, again, silver lining, right? We're going to look for the silver lining. Silver lining might be that you don't have to pay your rates and taxes, because there's nowhere for you to pay them to. That would be good.
Nah.
I somehow think that's not going
to
work.
That's not what happens in South Africa. In South Africa, you still pay.
You still pay even though you're getting nothing.
Yeah, it is what it is.
I love that. Motor planners run out on Joburg. That's Jason Goliath. Yeah. All right, so Jason's with us for another hour. We've got lots of good stuff to get to. Bakabantu's here too, and we will take your comments on the comments in YouTube's. You can get hold of us there, and obviously you can also drop us an email if you want to, whatever else you want to do. We've got to talk about some of the things that are happening. Apparently, there's an Australian who's been fined 30,000 rand for showing off his snake while surfing.
And it's not what you think.
No, it's not what you think. Australia has the time to make rules about people surfing with snakes. We'll get to that just now. Stick around. Nice. Yeah, I know. You know, first world problems in every sense of it.
Yeah, we worried about buildings burning down. Did you see that car surfing with a snake? Oh, come on. Help me. Help me.
Cliffcentral.com. It's Tuesday morning, 7 o'clock. Cliffcentral.com.